sermon this evening is Exodus 28. Think of the ways that the scripture is described. It's beautiful, it's sweeter than honey, it is a light for us. We come to Exodus chapter 28, and this is no exception. I imagine in the counsel of God, as he considered the garb of Aaron, and he had decided to record everything that was to be placed on Aaron, somewhere and in some places he thought, they're really going to like this. This is going to be beautiful. This is going to be amazing. Each of us have our own arts. The things that we would look at and say, that was really well done. That was beautiful. I could really enjoy that. When Aaron's priestly garment was described and all the intricate detail was given, I can imagine the young Jews, you know, they didn't have television, they didn't have comic books to enjoy, but when they stood in the assembly and the reading was taking place and they're hearing about each part of the robe in the golden embroidery and each of the stones, I imagine that from that point on, as they could hear how amazing it was, did they ever go to the temple and watch? Did they want to see the high priest walking by in his garb and say, there it is. That's what we heard about. That was the beauty of the high priest who was able to go and stand before God as the substitute for you and for me. This is that foreshadowing of Christ Jesus. That Christ would go and he would stand before God for you and for me. We have this picture of the majesty. Now, tied into that, then, we have you and me, who are understood to be in Christ Jesus. And we have been given robes of righteousness as well, the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And even as we will look and we will see, the high priest had the names of Israel on him. He had the name church on him, body of Christ on him. You and I bear that same thing. We have that same name that is on us. So we're going to go through and we're going to read Exodus 28. And I invite you to love it. I invite you to take in the detail. I invite you to picture it. To see the intricacy, the beauty, and the majesty as it's portrayed as the majesty of Christ. Exodus 28. Then bring near to yourself Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the sons of Israel to minister as a priest to me. Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. You shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all the skillful persons whom I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister as a priest to me. These are the garments which they shall make: a breastpiece, and an ephod, and a robe, and a tunic of checkered work, a turban, and a sash. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister as a priest to me. They shall take the gold and the blue and the purple and the scarlet material and the fine linen. They shall also make the ephod of gold, of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen, the work of a skillful workman. It shall have two shoulder pieces joined to its two ends, that it may be joined. The skillful woven band which is on it shall be like its workmanship, of the same material, of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet material, and fine twisted linen. You shall take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel, six of their names on the one stone and the names of the remaining six on the other stone according to their birth. As a jeweler engraves a signet, you shall engrave the two stones according to the names of the sons of Israel. You shall set them in filigree settings of gold. You shall put the two stones on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as stones of memorial for the sons of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders for a memorial. You shall make filigree settings of gold and two chains of pure gold. You shall make them of twisted cordage work, and you shall put the corded chains on the filigree settings. You shall make a breastpiece of judgment, the work of a skillful workman. Like the work of the ephod, you shall make it of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet material, and fine twisted linen you shall make it. It shall be a square, and folded double, a span in length, and a span in width. You shall mount on it four rows of stones. The first row shall be a row of ruby, topaz, and emerald. In the second, a row of turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. In the third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. In the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold filigree. The stone shall be according to the names of the sons of Israel, 12. According to their names, they shall be like the engravings of a seal, each according to his name, for the 12 tribes. You shall make on the breastpiece chains of twisted cordage, work in pure gold. You shall make on the breastpiece two rings of gold, and shall put the two rings on the two ends of the breastpiece. You shall put the two cords of the gold on the two rings at the ends of the breastpiece. You shall put the other two ends of the two cords on the two filigree settings and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod at the front of it. You shall make two rings of gold and shall place them on the two ends of the breastpiece on the edge of it, which is toward the inner side of the ephod. You shall make two rings of gold and put them on the bottom of the two shoulder pieces of the ephod on the front of it, close to the place where it is joined above the skillfully woven band of the ephod. They shall bind the breastpiece by its ring to the rings of the ephod with a blue cord, so that it will be on the skillfully woven band of the ephod, and that the breastpiece will not come loose from the ephod. Aaron shall carry the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment over his heart when he enters the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. You shall put in the breastpiece of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. And Aaron shall carry the judgment of the sons of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. You shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue. There shall be an opening at its top in the middle of it. Around its opening there shall be a binding of woven work like the opening of a coat of mail, so that it will not be torn. You shall make on its hem pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet material all around on its hem, and bells of gold between them all around. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate all around on the hem of the robe. It shall be on Aaron when he ministers, and its tinkling shall be heard when he enters and leaves the holy place before the Lord, so that he will not die. You shall also make a plate of pure gold and shall engrave on it like the engraving of a seal, holy to the Lord. You shall fasten it on a blue cord, and it shall be on the turban. It shall be at the front of the turban. It shall be on Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall take away the iniquity of the holy things which the sons of Israel consecrate with regard to all their holy gifts, and it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. You shall weave the tunic of the checkered work of fine linen, and shall make a turban of fine linen. And you shall make a sash, the work of a weaver. For Aaron's sons you shall make tunics, and you shall also make sashes for them, and you shall make caps for them, for glory and for beauty.
You shall put them on Aaron your brother and on his sons with him, and you shall anoint them and ordain them and consecrate them that they may serve me as priests. You shall make for them linen breeches to cover their bare flesh. They shall reach from the loins even to the thighs. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they enter the tent of meeting or when they approach the altar to minister in the holy place, so that they do not incur guilt and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and to his descendants after him. Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you are an artist, that you love what is beautiful, and that you communicate beauty to us. Please help us tonight to put aside our distractions. Help us to indulge in what is glorious, what is majestic, what is beautiful. Help us to enjoy the mysteries as you unfold them for us. And help each of us also to see our place in your majesty, in your mysteries. May we be struck with the beauty, the majesty, and the awe. And may we enjoy our place in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, a friend of ours was adopting a child from Africa. The child, while she was in Africa, she was being told that when you go to the States, you are going to get such beautiful dresses. When you are there, the clothes that you will wear, you will look like a princess. Now, that was true. And when the child came to the States, the dresses she got compared to what she had worn in her country, she would have been a princess in her own country. But what she discovered once she was here, when she looked around, all of the other girls had equally beautiful dresses. She did not stand out like a princess among her friends or among her peers. So she began to lament for herself. No pretty dresses for me. No pretty dresses for me. She wanted something better than what everyone else had. Now, as we look at the scripture and as we look at the details here and we look at what we've been promised in scripture, righteousness. Even a robe of righteousness. And yet, when you and I, we look on ourselves, we find ourselves sinning, falling short of the glory of God, and we may begin to lament, no righteousness for Micah. No righteousness for me. Perhaps you look at yourself and you find yourself falling short of the glory of God. And if you're honest, you see it. If you're honest, you are experiencing it. But the place in which we live and the relationship that we enjoy with our Heavenly Father, it's more than what you are pulling off. It's more than what you are accomplishing. Because your Heavenly Father looks on you, sees the righteousness of Christ, and he says, righteous. He says, perfect. He says, beautiful. Each of us in our own lives, we are aspiring to those kind of compliments in our own ways. We have the things that we think we're good at, or we want to accomplish the things that we think that we can do, and we're waiting for that acknowledgement from other people, and so much of our identity is wrapped up in us aspiring to those things, or sometimes when we're really unhealthy, our identity is wrapped up in not coming to those places.
But the beautiful place that we are in, we have Aaron here, and Aaron didn't make this up. Aaron didn't dress this up himself. Skillful workmen have come in, and these things have been placed on him, and that's like your salvation. Salvation that has been placed on you. A righteousness that has been placed on you to say you are beautiful. To say you are amazing. To say you are radiant. This is the reality of living in the Christian life. A beauty and a radiance that has been given to us. So the call for you this evening is, having been made radiant, be radiant. Having been made shiny, shine. Having been loved, go on and love. Our first step is rejoice in being brought near. Verse 1, we have this picture. Then bring near to yourself Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him, from among the sons of Israel, to minister as a priest to me. This idea of being brought near to the Father, this having been drawn out and being with him. John 6:44 speaks of this relationship. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So, are you believing in Christ? Are you in that place where you have faith and hopeful expectation of the resurrection? Hopeful expectation of heaven? If so, that means the reality has been that the Father has drawn you so that you have come to this place. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And we have a righteousness then, and we have a salvation that's not based on our works. It's not based on the things that you are able to accomplish, but it's through faith, which is a gift. Faith that has been placed into your heart so that you have been made able to believe. You have been drawn near. Acts 13:47 through 48. Describe this as an appointment. Now, an appointment, maybe you're thinking in terms of the calendars where you and I would put it together. That sort of appointment. Those, we write it down, it may or may not happen. God's appointments certainly do happen. God appoints to the place of salvation. And here it's described in Acts 13:47 and 48. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Appointed. You are in the amazing place where you have been appointed by God to this place to be near with him. What does that do for you? What does that do to you in your daily life? What impact does that have on your heart when you see the reality of your relationship being his appointment? He holds you fast. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And Jesus says, and I will raise him up on the last day. This puts us in the place of confidence, the place of courage,
the place of strength. Not your courage, not your strength, but His. Because you are held fast by Him and He will accomplish the good work that has begun. He has begun in you. So then, our next step is to see yourself as clothed in righteousness. Verse 2. You shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and beauty. So let's take the term holy for a moment. What are we going to do with the term holy? What's it mean if you have a holy garment? Holy being set apart in one sense, but also as it's set apart, it's being considered as perfect. If you are being clothed in holiness, you are set apart so that you are no longer under wrath, and you are also set apart into perfection as the Father looks on you. You shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and beauty. In Zechariah 3:3-4, we have the priest Joshua. And it's described that as he went before the Lord in this vision, he was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. Who spilled something on themselves on the way somewhere? Who has been a mess in some circumstance? It may have been the first time I was going to preach, or soon after that, I was on my way to a church service and I spilled either juice or coffee down my front, and that meant I had to preach in that. Who of us have been in a hurry or a rush to get somewhere and we didn't have the time to clean up? And we knew, if you're like me, sometimes you know that you stink. You're going into a setting where you will be in a basement. You will be disgusting and people won't want to be around you, and people are going to be staring at you because you have not appeared the way that you're supposed to appear. And I feel like I'm summing up a great deal of my life right now. Showing up and not looking like what I'm supposed to look like. Physically, sure, sometimes. Emotionally, yeah, sometimes. Spiritually, probably just about all the time. To show up and not look like what I'm supposed to look like is what's happening here in Zechariah. Only it's far worse. It's similar to the illustration from this morning. That we'll stand before the judge, and he already knows everything. Everything that we've whispered in darkness, he already knows. Zechariah 3:3-4. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. He spoke and said to those who were standing before him. So we're at this place where it looks like it should be the judgment. Remove the filthy garments from him. Again, he said to him, see, I have taken away your iniquity from you and will clothe you with festal robes. We look at ourselves and we understand we have sinned, we have fallen short of the glory of God, we stand before the judge and we're guilty. And the robe is that picture of guilt. The filthy garments, that picture of guilt. The guilt you feel, the inadequacies that you feel, the shame that you feel, the dread that you feel, the apprehension that you feel that you are going to be unveiled and everyone's going to know how silly and stupid you really are. Welcome to my world. And God says, no, that's not who you are. See, I have taken your iniquity away. Your stumbling, your falling, your imperfection, your rebellion, and behold, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. That's what I've made you. That's how I see you. You're beautiful. Isaiah 62, 10 through 11. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes things sown in it to spring up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. That's the beautiful place where we are. You and I, and even in moments where you're singing the Psalms and you actually feel like it, you can rejoice that he's accomplishing that. He's causing righteousness and praise to spring up among the nations. It's a work that he is accomplishing in us. And this salvation, there's a technical term people will put on it, and seminary professors will do it, and you have to do it with seminary students when you're examining them. The question will be asked, is there any sense in which justification is not forensic? All right, so that's boring and stagnant and stale, and it tastes like Listerine when I say it. Is there any sense in which salvation is not forensic, is the question. That's saying the reality of your salvation being accomplished, isn't it that God has put on you? Isn't it that he has given you salvation? Isn't that righteousness placed on you? And it's despite anything that we've done. We haven't run and we haven't accomplished it. It's placed on you. And we say, yes, that's the reality. That's the reality. God's put it on me, because if it's me to work it out, I'm going to mess it up. Don't let me mess up my salvation. Don't let me try to make salvation. Don't let me try to make myself saved, because I will mess it up. I will spill something. I will break something. I'll say the wrong thing, I'll ruin it, and I will go to hell. Jesus handles the salvation. It's declared, it's real, it's happening. But in that place, he starts to do stuff to us. He starts to change us. He uses grace. He uses the things of grace. He uses the means of grace, we say. He uses the word given to us and proclaimed and explained. And it goes into our hearts and it starts to do things. It takes dead places and it makes them alive. It takes old dead soil and it makes it rich and black, and it grows. And grace grows in us, and truth grows in us, and love grows in us, and worship grows in us. And we no longer just are called beautiful, but we start to shine. We start to be beautiful. The robe is no longer just forensic, but the robe actually starts to glisten. And there'll be moments where I'll look at you and you'll say something and you'll do something and I'll see a glisten. I'll see a bit of an ephod shine. I'll see something glorious. I'll see something beautiful. And prayerfully you look and you see it in each other. You start to see that glisten, that shine, that glow, that robe of righteousness being manifested. John talks about having no greater joy than seeing his children walk in the truth or believe the truth. And that's a great thing. That's something that we look for and we long for, and we look for it and long for it in one another, that we see truth and righteousness shine. Continuing in Zechariah 3, when it comes to verse 7, it talks about then walking in his ways. You've been given this robe, now we walk in these ways. And we begin to bear the image of Jesus. And this is our third step. To bear the image of Jesus well. Verses 8 through 11, we continue with those beautiful pictures of the engravings placed on us. Now, we had the idea when we looked at 1 Peter
That we're being built up into this temple for a purpose. You are a holy nation, a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. Just before that describes us as living stones being stacked together. That's us being actual church. And I'm going to say this ties into our church membership as well. That we are built together, committed to each other. And when a stone's knocked out, that's going to affect the rest of us. Built together and meaning it. Committed to one another, meaning it. Living it out, supporting one another, meaning it. And when we look at the ways in which those stones had the names of Israel on them, you bear my name, and I bear your name. We are the body of Christ. We are knit together. I've told you before how I used to reject and resent the way that my mother said, whatever I did reflected on her. I hated that. I wanted to be an individual, and I wanted it to be about me. But it's true. My goofiness, my oddities, the things that I would do if I ended up on the news or in the newspaper, she heard about it. It reflected on her. That's true. You and I, as we bear the name of Christ, what we do, it's going to reflect on Christ. If we have been an open witness, it's going to reflect on Him and the things people say about Him, the things they think about Christianity, and it's going to reflect on our church as well. That's the reality. You're not an individual. You are an individual, but you're more than an individual. We're part of each other. We bear the name of Christ. As Aaron had the names of each of the sons of Israel on him, we have each other's name. So we bear the name well. I'll refer you to the sermon this morning. It's got to look like faith and repentance, right? I'm not saying you're not going to blow it. I'm going to blow it. And I'm going to have to keep apologizing. You're going to blow it. And you're going to have to keep apologizing. But we keep coming back to the cross together in order to bear the image of Jesus well. And the fourth step is having been made holy, be beautiful. Again, verse 3. You shall speak to all the skillful persons whom I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister before me. And we can continue in verses 4 through 8, but we've had that whole picture given to us. Psalm 37, verses 4 through 7. Here's what's going to make you beautiful. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. You'll be beautiful. You will be beautiful. Right there. That much. Delighting yourself in the Lord. If your joy is there, your happiness is there. Delight yourself in the Lord. Then, and He will give you the desires of your heart. If you're delighting in Him, He will give you Himself. King of heaven and earth, given to you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. And how do we do this? How do we walk in these ways of truth? Well, we go to the Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 19. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching. Again, we need taught. We need to delight in the Word, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate. I'll take that on my gravestone. Frankly, I will. Micah Ramsey. Born 1973, whenever, adequate. I'll take it. Good enough. Adequate. That the man of God may be adequate. And here's the other part where we get to run and do well. Equipped for every good work. Would you like to be equipped for every good work? I would like to be equipped for every good work. It's in the scripture. In Psalm 119, 59 through 60, I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. So there we go. And if you take that little part, if I just gave you that, some of you might shake your head and say, legalism. Legalism. Do the thing. Do what he says. I have dumped a boatload of grace on you tonight. As we live in that boatload of grace, as we live in that beauty that he has placed on us, in this place of beauty, we take his beautiful word and we apply it. We live it. We love it. We shine. And may we look for those glimmers in each other. Those moments where we see grace shine. Those moments where we see a bit of the ephod, a bit of the turban, where we see Christ's likeness being manifested in us for him and his glory. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for the wonders that you have done. Salvation accomplished and applied. Please bless us as we learn to walk in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, that you'll be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.